Every day, families with critically ill children face the unthinkable, being far from home while their child receives life-saving medical care. Ronald McDonald House Charities Bay Area steps in to ease this burden, providing no-cost housing, free meals, and comprehensive support services to families whose children are being treated at the Bay Area's leading children's hospitals, including Lucile Packard Children's Hospital Stanford and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals in San Francisco and Oakland. But we can't do it alone. Your support, through donations or volunteering, helps families stay close to each other and the expert care they need. Visit rmhcbayarea.org to learn how you can make a lasting impact.
Hey everybody, welcome to Shark Snapshot. This is your host, Charan Bir Mahal from INDTV USA. Hey, you can also check out the audio portion of our show on the Sharks Audio Network. Just go to the Sharks app and click on the audio tab. Well, since the last matchup here at home, a lot has happened. The San Jose Sharks went on a one-game road trip to Seattle where they lost 6-2. But the biggest news happened after that, and that's when the San Jose Sharks traded one of their top players, that's Mikael Granlund, and also Cody Ceci, a right-handed defender who was always lined up with Jake Walman. Well, that kind of sent the shocking waves to the Sharks fan world, and I can understand that. It seemed like things aren't getting any easier for the San Jose Sharks fans. And, you know, here we are having only 15 wins in two-thirds way of the season, and then we lose a couple of big players. So it's definitely a rough ride for the fans here in the next couple of months. But we'll cover all that. We'll have a debate on what's good about it, what's bad about it. But before we do that, why don't we go to Mike Geer and see some of his thoughts on why that trade had to happen, and more importantly, where he feels Sharks need to add some more ammunition in the coming year.
Created Mackenzie Lockwood, obviously, and I'm sure you felt at the time there was going to be maybe the team might experience a bit of a slide, but it's obviously been, you know, pretty much precipitous slide here over these last couple of months. Did you expect that, or is that worse than you expected since that trade? Or
no, I mean,
it's I don't know if I tie it all into the trade. I think Blackie probably covered up some of the some results early in the year, and you know, and just being hockey and being sports, it probably would have come the results probably would have come around at some point anyway. So some of our, you know, some of our defensive play or lapses or things like that that have ended up in the net, I think they, you know, they probably would have ended up in the net if Blackie was here. So it's just I think it's just kind of I guess everything evening out over a course of a hockey season.
So Mike, as far as the rebuilds go, which area do you feel most comfortable with from the prospect standpoint, you know, goaltending, defense, and offense?
I think we're still, all of it still is being built and have work and needs work. I think you know, it's nice to have, you know, someone like Assi, you can maybe be a number one, but at the end of the day, you can never have too much goaltending. So, you know, we got to keep building that up. And, you know, same with every area. We have some good forwards coming. We have some good D coming, but I think, you know, we're not at the point where we can throw our hands up and say we're good everywhere. I think there's either.
What are you most comfortable with and least comfortable with? Yeah, I know we're far from being done.
Yeah. I think where we are is with the prospect pool, we're happy with the guys we got, and you know, we'll keep building it out. We were probably forward heavy a little bit before, but and that, you know, being that way allowed us to, you know, trade a young player like Edstrom to get Askey. So you know, that's kind of where we are. I think we're okay with, we feel good about where we are on at forwards and at D.
Well, now with that, I think best way is to have a discussion with Zubair, who thinks a little bit different than me. So I thought we'll have a very nice debate. So Zubair, tell me, what are your thoughts on the trade?
You know, I think that the trade overall is to be decided, first of all. I think we won't really know if this is a good or bad trade till really what Mike Greer decides to do with that first overall pick. So if he trades it for a premium defenseman, does he trade up? Does he package it with someone else? So we'll see what that first round pick does for the Sharks in the next year or two. If he just drafts it, let's see what happens to that draft pick. But this draft isn't that great. You know, after the first 5-6 people in this draft, it's not a very, very deep draft like the last couple of years. So, you know, it doesn't have as much value as it would, you know, last year even. So we'll see what happens with it. But the reason I don't like the trade initially is because Granlin had a lot more value than market value. I think the Sharks got market value for the trade. They got a first pick. And I think that particularly he was a distressed asset when we got him. And credit to the development team and the opportunity that he got here in Granlin for earning it and really playing his way out of San Jose and garnering a first overall pick for someone that we got in the Carlson trade as a salary dump. So I think, you know, you want to add something?
Well, so a couple of things I want to add there. One, how did we get Granlin? So that all started with Erik Karlsson. So what Greer has done there is basically he got two first-round picks in that.
Absolutely.
And yeah. Erik Karlsson, we had a contract that was pretty much unmovable. Uh-huh. So moving that alone was a huge deal. But then here we are. We got Sam Dickinson with the first one last year. And here we have another opportunity. Yes, you're right. First of all, we don't even know where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
Second, what else can you do to move that up? Will there be somebody reasonable as a defender that we could get? So the players that affects the most, of course, you know, on the top line, Will Smith, who started off in the center. That's what he did most of his career. But then there was a little struggle. Eventually, he was moved on the Granlin line. And you can see his leadership. I mean, Will Smith has been doing great. And when we talk about, you know, the players of impact over the last 5 games, he's going to come up. So that tells you his leadership, Granny's leadership, and how he kind of took a couple of young guys, and of course, Fabian Zetterlin. So I said, with that, why don't we go to Will Smith first, and we'll come back.
Hear a lot of that was with Kyle. How much do you hear? You know, that what he did out there kind of led to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, did what he did for us, and it was... So I think our leading scorer and obviously helped us in D zone. PK did everything. So, I mean, it's obviously a huge piece for losing. But, I mean, I've learned a lot from him and take little things.
It's still up in the air who's going to be the second line center here going forward. I mean, if that was a role you were asked to do, would I feel comfortable going back to the middle?
Yeah, I mean, I played center my whole life. So I think I definitely feel comfortable.
So, well, this is sort of your first time around something like that. What do you think about it? How do you cope with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Obviously, I came from college where you can't really get traded, but it's part of the business, so it's tough, but it happens.
And did coach say anything about, you know, your next sort of alignment? Are you going to play the wing? Are you going to go to the center? What's the thought on that?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but... I think we're going to still figure it out and just kind of go with the flow and whatever happens.
So you play both of those positions fairly evenly, I guess, here, right, you know, in the last, you know, most of the season, you were kind of split 50-50. What is your personal thought? Where you did better and where do you like to see yourself at?
I mean, I think I'm a natural center. I mean, that's what I got drafted as, but I think having the versatility to do both is something that I can use to my advantage.
So another guy that was greatly impacted was Fabian Zetterlund, and he really talks highly about what he learned from them, how much time Granlund would spend with them, even on the bench talking to them. So yeah, he's definitely going to be missed by Fabian.
Of course, it's tough, you know. Yeah, he's been a great leader for this team for this 2 years he was here, and I mean, it's tough for sure, but it's. Yeah, it's business. We can't really do anything about it right now. And we're going to move on, but yeah, of course I'm going to miss him a lot, yeah.
What's he done for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, he's been so nice to me, you know, since he came, and he learned me a lot, you know. He took me under his wing right away and helped me to become a good hockey player. And he learned me a lot and
For you, is there, he's, you know, we always told of, you know, he pulled guys aside. Is there a moment for you where he maybe pulled you aside, especially early on when he got here, where you kind of had a moment with him that kind of stuck with you?
Yeah, he, you know, before skates, after skates, practices, we worked on some skills like right from the beginning when he came, and he said to me, like, I think first or second practice or something, let's go ahead and we do this right now. And I was like, okay, I was listening, and then we just continued the whole year and continued this year too. And I mean, it pays off when you work. So yeah, great stuff.
Obviously, you and Eki were close to them. Eki told us yesterday he was able to kind of call Granny a little bit. Did you get a chance to talk to him after he was dealt, and just put phone calls or anything like that with him?
I texted him right away, and he texted me back too. And he had a game too, so I mean, it's didn't want to bother him too much.
Obviously, you know, he's going to a place in Dallas where they've got a chance for a cup. How much would it mean just to see him, you know, a guy that's kind of meant so much to you and guys in this room, how much would it mean to see him get a cup with them?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I want everything to be good for that guy, you know. He's done so much for me, and I want him to win, yeah.
How do you feel like this team can maybe not, you know, take on what he leaves out, but how do you feel like maybe you or some like Eki or some of the other young guys can kind of take what he learned and apply it for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to learn. I learn stuff every day here at the rink, and I'm trying to teach some guys too, you know, and that's how we get better every day, and I mean, that's what we're going to work on, so.
Yeah, I really like that, you know, about the San Jose Sharks. Here's a guy who spent, what, 8-9 years in the AHL, yeah. And for him to have a little taste, he only played 6 games, I believe,
yep.
In his career in the NHL, and to have that shot here tonight, I think is just a great thing. And who knows, depending on how he does, he may get, you know, a few more games.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a nice thing to do. At the end of the day, you know, if you're a fan, nonetheless, this whole thing is really painful. But you got to hang in there. You got to have the faith. And I'm sure we're going to get to the other end. Now, with that, let's get to the matchup. Tonight, the San Jose Sharks are taking on the Montreal Canadiens. Now, the Canadiens aren't really lighting up the lamp all that much themselves. They're currently in the 7th position with just 53 points. Well, the San Jose Sharks are, like we talked earlier, dead last with 36 points. So, with that, tonight, a couple of players of impact I want to mention for the San Jose Sharks, of course, over the last 5 games, I meant. Celebrini has 3 goals and he has 4 assists. Sorry, Smith has 4 assists. And Celebrini has 5 points. So now it's the first time I only see the youngsters having the most impact over the last 5 games. I think if you're a fan, that's really what you want to see. You're starting to see things kind of coming together. They both, well, I don't want to say both, especially Will, struggled a bit. But he's definitely having impact. He's having more confidence. And he has been playing with a lot more poise. Now, the players to watch from the Canadiens, Caulfield, by the way, what do you think about him? I know he's on the top line, and he's a very impactful player, and they're looking for a win here tonight.
Yeah, I think Caulfield, you know, Cole's just a great player. You know, he had that great cup run during COVID where, you know, he really got to see what he was made of. And it's weird to say he's now a veteran, right? With, you know, Montreal's very similar to the Sharks in that they're in a rebuild, just maybe a step ahead. And the person I'm really looking forward to watch tonight is Lane Hutson. You know, yeah. It's going to be exciting. Obviously, it's him and ex-teammate Macklin Celebrini up against the Calder Trophy race. So I think that's going to be a really fun matchup to watch as well.
With that, let's go to the lineup tonight. So on the top line for the San Jose Sharks is William Eklund with Macklin Celebrini and Tyler Toffoli. On the second line, Fabian Zetterlund with Andrew Petrovsky and Will Smith. On the third line, Colin Graf with Luke Cunning and Barclay Goodrow. On the fourth is Carl Grunlund, Colin White with Walker Duehr. In the defense tonight is Jake Wallman with Henry Thrun, Mario Ferraro with Jack Thompson, Shakir Mukhammadulin with Timothy Liljegren. In the net tonight is Alexander Georgiev. So now I do want to ask you a couple of things about that. On the defensive, I understand, I think coach is sort of spreading the veterans out.
Yeah.
But I think depending on how impactful their one or two lines might be, I have the feeling we might see Mario Liljegren back together and have the two youngsters as kind of the third line, which may or may not see all that much ice. And what do you think? And also Henry Thrun sort of getting to play with Wallman.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that Mario and Liljegren line have been doing so well ever since they've been put together that you might want to see them back together. And I think if Shakir's looking pretty good, I think you might actually see him higher up in the lineup. I know that Coach said that, you know, he was actually looking better at times in the NHL than the AHL because of the structure of the game. And I think if that favors him, I see him as a top four defender. And he tends to do better with that extra structure that you see from a top pairing defenseman. So I think you might even see him higher up in the lineup as well.
So you're thinking that's probably the logic to have him with Liljegren. But I'm also excited to see maybe Shakir with Thompson, two youngster, how they handle that pressure together. It would be very interesting to see. So nonetheless, with that, let's go to the first period. Well, a great start by the San Jose Sharks tonight. In just first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, the Sharks were out shooting 5-1. Now at 4.5 minutes, Tyler Toffoli drew a slashing penalty, and on the power play, there's a play that started with Jake Wallman on the blue line to Smith on the left, back to Eklund on the right, back to Toffoli on the left, and again back to right to Celebrini in the bottom of that left circle for a one-timer wrist shot that ended in the net. That play was just beautiful, how the puck snaked all the way from blue line to the net. The first period ended with the Sharks leading 1-0, and they outshot 12-7.
Wallman keeps it alive. Eklund on the wing. Celebrini scores! Macklin roof set, and it's 1-0 Sharks.
Well, just in the opening minutes of that second period, Barclay Goodrow took a holding penalty, and just seconds into the power play, Cole Caulfield ripped a shot from inside that right circle and tied the game at one.
For the second time here tonight, as Lane Hudson gets the power play started for Montreal. This is Nick Suzuki, number 14 with the puck. Played back to Hudson at the line. Into the middle, they score. Cole Caulfield, perfect passing from Suzuki. It's 1-1.
Well, that really gave some life to Montreal, and they really started to dominate the game. Just over 4 minutes later, the Sharks goalie Alexander Georgiev made a huge save, but he lost the side of the puck. It was just by his knee, and eventually Montreal recovered again, and just seconds later, Alex Newhook scored with a slap shot from the inside of the right circle, which gave Montreal their first lead of the game tonight.
Alex Newhook into the slot. Doc trying to bank it in off of Georgiev. It's still loose and back to Kirby Doc. Out front to Carrier. Alex Carrier. Newhook's one-timer and he scores. Off the post behind Georgiev. Montreal with a 2-1 lead.
Now after that, again, it was Montreal for quite a few minutes. But Sharks sort of held in there until about half of that second period. That's when momentum started to shift towards the Sharks. They had a couple of great shifts. And with just about 5 minutes left in that second period, Colin Graf got the puck in the neutral zone. He just skated down the left side, got into that left circle, and just lasered a wrister that rang off the top bar into the net, which tied the game at 2.
Technologically, they could get that done.
Elon Musk is working on that. There's a shot by Graf. He scores. Colin Graf scores his first National Hockey League goal.
And in the final seconds of that second period, Carl Grundstrom took a double minor high-sticking penalty. So Sharks they ended the period on a PK, and they're going to have to kill another 3.5 minutes of that into the third period. So the score at the end of the second was tied at 2, but the Sharks were out shooting 20-13. Well, the San Jose Sharks started the third period, killing that spillover double minor penalty from the end of the second period. And just 2 minutes 40 seconds into that, Brendan Gallagher got the pass right in front of the net, and he scored with a wrist shot, making it 3-2 Montreal.
Matheson again, and now Newhook. Gallagher, front of the net. Dvorak a little deeper, screening Georgiev. Across, Dak to the net, and they score!
And just past the halfway through that third period, Jake Wallman made the pass from the Sharks' defensive zone to Macklin Celebrini, who was near the blue line, and Celebrini quickly passed it forward to Tyler Toffoli, giving him a breakaway, and he skated straight down the slot and took it from his forehand to backhand, deked the goalie, and put it in the net behind him and tied the game at 3.
They need a goal here to tie. They're on the power play, and there's good Wi-Fi in the penalty box. Here's Toffoli. He scores! Tyler Toffoli! And we're tied 3-3.
Well, with less than 5 minutes left into that third period, Sharks got their fourth power play opportunity. And on that power play, William Eklund lost the puck near the blue line, which ended with a breakaway, 2-on-1 breakaway, with Armia on the right and Evans on the left and Timothy Liljegren in the middle. Eventually, Evans was able to get the pass across to Armia from left to right, and Armia wristed a one-timer shot in the net and took the lead back 4-3 Montreal. And that's how the tonight's game ended, with the final score of 4-3 Montreal Canadiens.
That's kept in by Podorowski at the blue line, but it's forced back out again. And now Evans, 2-on-1 with Armia. Evans for Armia scores! A shorthanded goal for Yoel Armia! 4-3 Montreal!
Well, that was a heartbreaking loss for the Sharks, especially giving up that late shorthanded goal, which on the other hand was a great opportunity for the Sharks to win the game tonight. Well, Tyler Toffoli had scored third goal for the Sharks, and that's when they were tied at third. He also had 4 shots on goals, but he was -1 tonight. So Tyler, seemed like a great back and forth game, and that shorthanded goal became the difference.
Yeah, obviously, I thought our power play was pretty good, and obviously a mistake ends up in the back of our net, and we lose the game.
Tyler, obviously the power play, you know, was pretty successful tonight. Obviously a little bit of a different look with Noah Makai. What was working for you guys on the power play tonight?
Yeah, I thought, you know, we moved the puck really quickly, obviously, on that first goal, and, you know, the rest we were kind of just making plays, and obviously those two are really skilled and can make all those plays, so, you know, that helps.
How big was getting that first goal? Obviously an emotional, you know, weekend with losing a couple guys that were well loved in this room. How big was it just to kind of get that goal and get you guys moving a little bit despite the end result?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it gave us the motivation, and I thought we had a really good first period, and you know, they have a lot of skill over there as well, and they can obviously score some goals, and they found a way to win.
Macklin Celebrini also had a great game tonight. He had 1 goal and 1 assist, just like Tyler, and he also had 4 shots on goal.
This game starting to slow down for you. Is the way you found Toffoli on that pass to that tying goal? Just how's your game coming along? And you score a goal in this game as well?
Yeah, I felt good. I mean, it sucks not getting the result, but felt like we played a really good team game.
How frustrating is it, you know, having that success and just kind of a breakdown there in the shorthanded goal to just not come with win with a game that you guys were in control for a lot of it? How frustrating is that for you?
I mean, that's part of the learning we need to do. We've had a couple of those this year, and we just need to find a way to win. Like, it's not good enough to just come close anymore. Like, we've done it enough where, like, just we need to win.
Mike, can you describe the sequence of your goal?
I mean, that was an amazing 5-man goal. Like, I just watched it. I don't think anyone stick handled. Like, it was Wally bumped to Smitty, to Ecky, to Toff, backdoor to me, and had the whole net. So, I mean, if there were 4 assists that could be added to the goal, I think that would be a goal you'd do it for.
The chance that you had with about 6 minutes left, what'd you see there on that save by Montembeault?
I mean, I got it up. There's a reason he's on the Four Nations team. He's a good goalie. Like, he made a great save.
That pass from Will Smith, he didn't have a point tonight, but he seems very, just has really found his game. You just can't talk about Will's game the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason he went 4th overall, and there's a reason he had 71 points last year, and was like one of, if not the best player in college hockey. Like, he so smart, skilled, his playmaking is off the charts, and I mean, you can see, you've seen it this year, he can also shoot the puck, so I mean, he's a dynamic player, and yeah, I mean, without even getting a point, he created so much.
And congratulations to Colin Graf for scoring his first NHL goal tonight, and what a beautiful goal that was.
To get that first career goal?
Yeah, it was really exciting. It's a dream come true. I was fortunate enough for my parents to be here. My dad actually called me when he landed, and he was like, if I flew all the way out here, you better score. So I made sure that his trip out here was worth the money, so it was good.
Well, congratulations on that first goal. Your parents being out here, was that just sort of a planned trip, or just, you know, just lucky coincidence that you're also playing back in NHL too?
Yeah, my mom was actually out here for the last couple AHL games, and then we were planning on doing something during the break. Obviously got called up, so that's better. But and then my dad just flew out here today, so my little brother's just left alone at home right now.
Well, it seemed like you really had your feet moving tonight. This is sort of the blueprint for you going forward as a success in this league, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, when I got sent down 2 weeks ago, management wanted me to be more offensive, so I made sure that I obviously played responsible defensively, but when there's opportunities in the offensive zone to hold on the puck or try to make a creative offensive play, that I made sure I did that.
Well, the Sharks played well tonight. They were really pretty much in control of the game for most of the game, but a couple of things, they had solid power play, but also that shorthanded goal on the power play what costed them the game tonight. They also were a little sluggish coming out into the second, which allowed the Canadians to score 2 quick goals. So here's coach talking about all things game.
Was today, you talked about the last game, disappointing loss, and then kind of a line in the sand. So even though disappointing result, but was tonight a good response game though?
Yeah, I liked our effort. You know, I thought our guys competed. We skated, did some things that we've talked about the last couple days. Just sucks getting the result.
So you mentioned the result there, just the frustrating, and Macklin said in there, like, at the end of the day, same with Toffoli too, like, you just keep getting close, you got to find a way to win. What's the edge maybe to get you guys over? What do you guys need to kind of get you guys over there to start winning these games?
Just probably attention to detail in certain situations when the momentum shifts and the speed of the game picks up. I'd say that's the biggest thing.
Power play obviously looked good, especially on that first goal. What did you see? Obviously losing Grant in this big piece, but Smith didn't have a point, but he was moving the puck really well, creating chances.
Smitty's looks really good. You know, he's playing some really good hockey. He's helping us create some offense. He looks comfortable. Our power play was good tonight, especially that.
This was maybe Colin's best game with you guys this year.
Yeah, smart player. Was skating tonight. Again, smart guy. When we teach him and coach him on things, picks it up extremely quickly, which is impressive.
Message to him, you know, when he got sent down there not too long ago.
Just play with the puck. You know, I think he's got a knack to create offense and play with the puck a little bit, and did that in college. So it takes time to get comfortable doing it. We saw that with Smitty. So go down there and have good details. Make sure your pace is high. And then when you get the puck on your stick, try to make some plays.
So, Coach, last goal within 5 minutes of regulation. And it was also the insult to injury. It was a shorthanded goal. So does that make it more aggravating?
Oh, yeah.
The coach says
they said that Polarovsky pushed his pads in, but the replays looked like that wasn't the case. So, I mean,
it looked like it was in from our vantage point. Obviously, it wasn't conclusive, so they couldn't call it a goal.
It seemed like most of the game you guys had a pretty good control. Other than that, maybe that 7 minutes at the start of the second, and what do you thought was going on there?
Yeah, I thought, again, I liked our compete. I liked what we did. Did some good things. Breakouts were a little bit better. Obviously, some things we could get better with, but I liked a lot of things we did tonight.
Would you say anything to the team about the first game after the trade that went down this weekend?
Yeah, we addressed it, you know, 2-3 days ago. We're moving on. We understand with the situation, and you got to be a pro. We got to move on.
Well, tonight, the San Jose Sharks led in shots, 30-20 block shots, 23-21, and giveaways, 15-13, while the Canadians led in faceoffs, 59% to 41%, hits, 29-17, and takeaways,
5-2. And now for the three stars of the game. The first star of the game tonight is from the Montreal Canadiens, and that's Joel Armia, who scored that shorthanded goal late in the third period to get the win for the Montreal Canadiens. The second star tonight is Macklin Celebrini from the Sharks, who had one goal and one assist. And the third star tonight is Colin Graf, who had one goal and 17 minutes and 37 seconds time on ice. Well, we will see you again on Thursday when the San Jose Sharks take on the Vancouver Canucks right here at the SAP Center. And thank you for watching. And for those of you who are listening to us on the Sharks Audio Network, thank you for listening.
Thanks for watching INDTV USA. Share your comments below, subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Twitter and Facebook.